My direction now, I think I'm just trying to honestly be as comprehensive of a musician as I can be. And as a scholar, it's the same thing.
Welcome to another PJP mixtape. I'm Homer Jackson, director of the Philadelphia Jazz Project. During the summer of 2014, Leo Gatson of Producers Guild, Adam Feldman of the Free Library of Philadelphia, and I met to discuss an idea. We teamed up to develop the highly successful, but at that moment, new performance series, the Mysterious Traveler Concert Series, which takes place in the Montgomery Auditorium at the Central Branch of the Free Library of Philadelphia. The very first Mysterious Traveler concert took place on Monday, September 8, 2014, and featured the music of educator and alto saxophonist Dr. Matthew Clayton. The event was recorded that evening. However, the files disappeared. For over 2 years, we thought there was no documentation of this important event. Recently, we found the files from this concert on a backup hard drive. We immediately reached out to Matthew Clayton for his blessing to release a mixtape and brought him into the PJP studio to record an interview, which you will hear directly after the music. This mixtape is entitled The First Traveler and contains only portions of the concert. The tunes featured in order are number 1, Sir Roderick the Aloof, written by Branford Marcellus. Number 2, Khalil the Prophet, written by Jackie McLean. And number 3, Matthew's Groove, written by Matthew Clayton himself. Featured on the recording are Matthew Clayton, alto saxophone, Justin Sekaleski on bass, and Kari Abdul Shahid on drums. Enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Matthew Clayton, saxophonist, primarily alto, also soprano, and I've been playing for about 25 years. Mysterious Traveler opportunity was such a blessing for me. It gave me an opportunity to present my own music, to present music that I felt would work well in this context. And actually, when I was asked to do it, I knew I wanted to do a trio session, meaning one with saxophone, bass and drums without a chordal instrument. And that would give me an opportunity to do something that I hadn't really done before. And I really wanted to showcase the power of that instrumentation. A lot of my influences, like Sonny Rollins, Ornette Coleman, Branford Marsalis, had done some beautiful things in that format. But more broadly, the Mysterious Traveler series was something, when I was asked to do it, I had no idea that it would be continuing like it has been, and would turn into such a beautiful outlet for Philadelphia musicians. So I'm very honored to be have been the first in that series, and it just makes me very proud to be a part of something and have kicked off something that has been so important to the city. The first composition, Sir Roderick the Aloof, is a composition by Branford Marsalis. And I want to say, too, that all of these songs, the three songs that you're going to hear, they all were originally done with a chordal instrument. Sir Roderick the Aloof originally had Joey Calderazzo on piano, and I thought it'd be beautiful to try it without the piano. Branford is someone who's been one of my biggest influences, and I had actually a chance to meet him a couple years ago, and he was very, very nice, and that was also very inspiring to see someone who's been so influential on me musically to be such a beautiful person as well. And, you know, he did a lot of trio records. The song, Sir Roderick the Aloof, is from a quartet record from 2006 called Bragtown, but he did some records in the early 90s, records like The Beautiful Ones Are Not Yet Born and Bloomington. In the mid-90s, he did The Dark Keys. And that sound was very influential on me. So to have the opportunity to do Branford Marsalis' composition was a big deal for me. And I think it turned out beautifully. You know, we had Justin Sekulski on bass and Kyrie Shahid on drums, and they did a wonderful job. The second song was a composition by Jackie McLean called Khalil the Prophet. And that was a great thrill for me, too, because Jackie was someone... I was originally inspired by Charlie Parker, and that's the main reason that I play the alto primarily. And believe it or not, Jackie was someone that came to my listening a little bit later. I was already playing pretty seriously when I first heard Jackie. I remember it very well. I was a senior in high school, and I heard on the radio a selection from not one of his albums, but an album he was a sideman on by Sonny Clark called Cool Struttin' from 1958. And I heard his sound, and I was like, wow, that's different. And I was very taken by what he was doing, and I started listening to Jackie more and more. So Khalil the Prophet is from his 1963 album Destination Out, and the chordal instrument on there is Bobby Hutcherson on vibraphone, and it's just actually a beautiful piece by Jackie, one of my favorite compositions of his, because when I was in grad school, I studied M-Bass, which was the music that Steve Coleman and his cohorts put out. And the melody to this piece kind of was reminiscent to me. I guess it would be kind of a precursor to what M-Bass was doing, the melody was. So it kind of attracted me right away. And the third piece is one of my own compositions called Matthew's Groove. Actually, something that I wrote very early on, one of my earliest compositions. I wrote it about 10 years ago. I'm sorry, 20 years ago. And, you know, it was influenced by the music of D'Angelo and Erykah Badu. Primarily, it was written in the late 90s when they were first coming out, and I love that sound. And, you know, this actually I performed when I was a senior in high school the first time. And the pianist on that concert when I first performed it was the great Philadelphia legend Sid Simmons. So that was really cool. And we tried it this way without piano. And another influence on this piece was the great saxophonist Grover Washington Jr., who I think a song like Just the Two of Us, for example, was kind of influential on this on that composition, Matthew's Groove. My direction now, I think I'm just trying to honestly be as comprehensive of a musician as I can be. And as a scholar, it's the same thing. I think there's a standard I hold myself to. And it's interesting because I want to be, on one hand, totally cognizant of all the things that are going on musically right now in 2017. But at the same time, I'm always holding myself to the standard of the people that got me playing music in the first place. So, I mean, it's kind of, you know, one of those things that's kind of beyond, you know, reach in some ways. But Charlie Parker being my first influence, I'm always holding myself up to him and saying, man, can I attain something as beautiful as he played? Same thing with John Coltrane and Sonny Rollins and the newer guys. They're not new now, but they were new maybe 30 years ago. People like Branford Marsalis and Kenny Garrett and Steve Coleman, Greg Osby, Joshua Redman, people like that that are, you know, I've had opportunities to see play live, and I'm holding myself to their standard. So I think artistically, you know, I'm trying to just be as open as I can. I love to compose music, so I'm always trying to stretch myself compositionally and present music that I think reflects both the time that we're in, but also that is timeless. I think there's something about music that is timeless, and I think great music is always timeless. And it's always something that we search for, and I'm always trying to do that when I perform. As a scholar, I'm always trying to share the love that I feel for this music with the next generation. I've had the opportunity to be at University of Pennsylvania for 5 years now, and working with those students is really beautiful because you see, you know, young adults that are excited about the music, and I'm just trying to share with them what I know about it, and I learn from them as well. So I think it's really a matter of expansion, both artistically and as an educator. I think I'm trying to really just have as much love and knowledge come through what I'm doing, and hopefully in that process I'll learn something and I'll be able to share with others what I learn. You know, a dream project, I have a lot of them actually. I think one of them would be to honestly reinterpret some of the popular music of today and put it out as a project. You know, that's something that I really would really love to do. On my album that I released a few years ago, On the Move, I do a Jill Scott tune, Hear My Call, and that was something that I was just a little tribute to kind of, you know, both Philadelphia, where I'm from, and also kind of a piece that I felt when I heard it, I said, wow, that's really an amazing composition. I want to do that. So I think a dream project for me would be to take some music that, you know, may be very popular, but reinterpreted in a way that shows my influences, and also hopefully reach a broader audience. Because I think one of the things that people like Miles Davis and Duke Ellington and others, they wanted the music to be heard by as many people as possible. It wasn't a museum piece. It was music for everybody. And I think for me, a dream of mine is to reach as many people as possible with music. And one of the ways of doing that is to play music that people know. In fact, a little under a year ago, I did a performance, you know, and I played a Prince song, Diamonds and Pearls. And the audience went crazy. And it was beautiful because I was a little on the fence initially about doing that piece because Prince had just passed away and I didn't want to be too cliche or whatever. But the way that it was embraced when we did that interpretation of his song Diamonds and Pearls kind of let me know, hey, this is something that can work musically. And, you know, I think a dream of mine would be to do an album where we interpret popular music and put it in there in a way that will reach as many people, but also will maybe bend their ears in a way they haven't heard before. ¶¶
You just heard PJP's The First Traveler mixtape featuring the Matthew Clayton Trio, recorded in September 2014 in the Montgomery Auditorium of the Free Library of Philadelphia. Executive producer Homer Jackson, supervising producer Skip the Sampler, graphic design Lynn Washington. Special thanks to Leo Gadsden of Producers Guild, Adam Feldman and Paul Bednar of the Free Library of Philadelphia. And to PJP staff, special thanks to Julia Lopez, Melissa Tolly Palmer, Gail Fontaine, and Lynn Washington. The Philadelphia Jazz Project is a sponsored project of Culture Trust, Greater Philadelphia, with funding provided by the Wincote Foundation. Visit us at www.philajazzproject.org.